I'm great, Bill. Thank you so much. What a great introduction.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest here on the show. And I want to dive right into it because it's getting increasingly hard to differentiate your personal brand and your company in today's media world.
Yeah.
The new tools like Facebook, Twitter, Google+, et cetera, actually create more ways to reach an audience, but at the same time, they dilute the impact that mainstream media plays. Mm-hmm. So as a veteran media expert yourself, how can one take advantage of the tools available today to leverage the personal or business brand?
Well, I think you have to come to the table with a tremendous amount of intention. I know that Facebook and Twitter were originally created to get us in talking with our friends and make friends online and this whole friend thing. But when the big boys got into the game, and I mean the big brands, and they started using analytics, you know, it's like having property at a seaside holiday for 20 years and you grew up there and suddenly they discovered there was gold there. I mean, sometimes you either buy your own pitchfork and shovel or you grumble and don't have a good time with it. So you really have to decide, why am I using this tool? Because this tool is a social media tool, but it's talking about who you are, what you do, and what you're selling in a much more friendly way than actually beating someone over the head with it. So intention is really important. For me personally, I use those tools a lot, and I'm on it all the time. But I don't use them for socializing per se. What I do is it's like going to a networking meeting where I'm socializing at the meeting. You wouldn't want to bring your kids with you. You wouldn't want to necessarily dress like you came from the beach. You would want to be suited up for selling, for talking about your business, for creating a greater visibility of your brand, but you would do it in a relaxed atmosphere and environment.
All right, now that makes a lot of sense, but we've seen brands come and go because of the media, the new media world, and I'll just use the Kardashian family as an example. I mean, they basically came out of nowhere to become the media phenoms that they are. What I like about your book and what I found so very interesting, a quote that I pulled out of it, is that you say there's no difference between a 10-second interview and a 140-character Twitter type of message. What did you mean by that, and how are those two similar?
Talk about who you are and what you do in the time allotted to you, what's the point? I mean, anyone can talk about who they are and what they do in 4 or 5 minutes. They can talk about where they were born. But the fact is that nobody's going to gift you with a tremendous amount of time, especially when they don't even know you, and then to find out, gee, that's 5 minutes of my life I'm never going to get back. What's the payback for me? So you have, once again, you have to come into this with intention. If you here's the thing, you have to be able to say who you are and what you do in 140 characters. Why? Because if you can do that, then you can pretty much do anything.
All right, that makes some sense. It does. My guest is Gail Murphy. She's known as the Celebritizer. Gail, I'm going to put you to the test. Let's use a case study, all right?
Okay.
Let's say that I owned an auto repair shop, which is a highly competitive industry. It's not well differentiated and has a very low trust with consumers.
Mm-hmm.
What steps do I have to take to increase the visibility of my business with the media?
Well, I need to determine who is my target market and what problem do I solve for them. What am I really selling? I'm selling a beautiful car. I'm possibly selling them. I'm repairing your car from ugly to beautiful. I'm painting it, but I'm also selling you safety. So that's important. I might be selling you safety for your kids, safety for yourself. I may do something to your car that might increase your mileage on fuel, so I'm also saving you money. I may be highly competitive price-wise, where depending upon what you do, I can give you a break. I may have created a plan where if I change your oil 4 times a year, you get, you know, one oil change for free. So I'm saving you money. So that's 3 things right there. You know, what business are you actually in? Yeah, you have this car. Is it a dealership or it's a repair? Right.
It's a repair. That's
yeah.
Correct.
So you have this repair business, but that's not the only business you're in. You're in the business for saving money for your customers, for creating safety and selling that safety. and also perhaps and saving them money.
All right, now that makes sense. Another thing that
so you have to go deep. You have to go a little bit deep.
Okay, and one of the other things going deeper into that, you're also helping people to extend the lives of their cars. We're finding that Americans are holding on to their cars longer. A recent study just showed that we're holding on to our cars 9.1 years now, which is considerably longer than the average had been in this country. In order to hold on to a car that long, you need to have a trustworthy mechanic, somebody
sure.
who will give you those extra 4 or 5 years.
And if it works out, it's cheaper to keep her.
Absolutely. That's a good way of saying it. My guest is Gail Murphy. So, Gail, in this crazy mishmash new world of new media, old media, radio, television like we're on, newsprint, etc., as well as Twitters and tweets, what's the definition of media in this 2.0 world?
Well, as recently as, I don't know, 2001, way before that, the definition of media was anyone or anything. And I'm sorry, let me retract that for a second. The previous definition of media, according to me, is radio, TV, print, magazines, newspapers, and the people in the production thereof. And so it was very clear what media was, and it was also very clear that you were here and media was over there. And if you wanted to get on the media, it was a matter of slogging and struggling and trying to get over there. With the explosion in media that we've experienced, you know, in the last 5 to 7 years, the media is everywhere now, and so therefore we have to change the definition of it because it never was there before, and so proliferated. So the media now in 2012 is anyone or anything that has the ability to take your message and move it forward. So if you have this car repair place, and you say to me, Gail, listen, my business is really business to consumer. You know, I'm not going to buy ads on TV, and I'm not going to be interviewed on the Today Show. But the fact is, you're being interviewed for an audience every time you create a tweet, post a Facebook or LinkedIn. Couple that with the postings with a few iPhones and some social media accounts. Every single person that reads your stuff or hears what you have to say when you're networking is potentially your next new customer.
My guest is Gail Murphy. She's known as the Celebritizer. She's got a book. It's called Interview Tactics, How to Survive the Media Without Getting Clobbered, The Insider's Guide to Giving a Killer Interview. And a lot of people that I run into on a day-to-day basis, Gail, are pretty eloquent speakers. You know, they stand up in front of their Rotary, or they stand up in front of groups at BNI or some of the other networking organizations that are out there, and they give their speech, and they know how to do that. They feel comfortable doing it. But you have to draw a distinction between giving a speech and meeting the media, meeting the press. In what ways is speaking different from doing the press or doing
media?
Oh my gosh.
First of all, when you do a speech, it's just you. When you're talking to the media, the biggest mistake people make when they do an interview is they think it's about them. It's not. It's really about the story. It happens to be your story, but I, as the reporter, if I spell your name wrong or I forget to put it in there, guess what? It's my story. So you can't get all precious about that. But the media thrives on a couple of different things: talking points, sound bites, a pitch. This explosion in media that we had actually shuffled our DNA to the point now people just like you and I, or regular people that aren't even in the media at all, are starting to talk to each other in sound bites over coffee or on the elevator. And if you don't have a couple of sound bites or some talking points to share, I don't know, that's how we're taking in information now. You have to be able to speak the language of the media because it's a skill set.
All right. So doing that, you also have to have a certain sense of what's going on in the world so that you can tie in what you're doing and make it relevant. So how do you position an interview so that it seems like it's ripped from the headlines? We see that on TV.
That's called piggybacking. Okay. So piggybacking is when, let's say you have, we're in the radio business. I'll give myself as a perfect example. We're in the radio business. We're talking about how to succeed in the media, and then we have a radio host who goes out there and shoots himself in the foot. I can now write a blog post, put out a press release, start tweeting and Facebooking about what this radio host could have done to survive this entire thing a whole lot better.
All right, let's rip one from the headlines. Let's talk about Rush Limbaugh. He's recently gotten all sorts of media attention because of his comments about a Georgetown law student who was trying to talk in front of a Senate panel in the U.S. Senate. How could he have done things differently and repositioned himself to maybe get beyond that gaffe?
Well, he is a little bit, he's a little bit of an anomaly because he's an entertainer first. But by the same token, we all have to agree on what is a civil discourse. But, you know, comedians get a free pass. I don't know if he falls under the milieu of comedian, but comedians always get a free pass. And what that means is if you don't like them, just turn them off and don't listen to them. But if you would be, if we would be talking about someone whose job is actually based on fact and reality of disseminating information and it's not based on opinion and conjecture, then those are the people that we really have to advise and say to them, listen, you know, you got to start citing your sources. You got to play closer to the bone. But the fact is that he did apologize, and it's all, in that particular case, it's really going to be how well the media, you know, how well the public, the general public, takes up on that. But in the case of Rush, he has a history of this kind of behavior and is very much an acquired taste.
My guest is Gail Murphy. She's known as a celebritizer. And Gail, I don't want to oversimplify things, but in your book, one of the things I found most interesting for me was that there are four media questions that one always gets asked in an interview. So share the secret sauce with us. What are those four questions?
Well, first of all, I just want to morph the word interview for just a second. If you peel it back, underneath what it says is interview. Two words, hyphenate, interview. So when people interview you, they could be interviewing you for television, radio, print, online, or interviewing you for a job. So you're always going to be asked specifically, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? What are you selling? What is it that you sell? What is it that you do? Why do I need it? What problem does it solve for me? And where can I get it? And then everything pretty much branches off of that. But at the end of the day, you're always going to get, who are you? What do you do?
Right.
And you have to be able to come out of the starting gate strong.
Right.
And that's where a great pitch comes in.
All right, so talk to us about pitches real quickly. We've only got about a minute or so left. How important is a good pitch for setting up all of the other four ideas that you want to present?
Well, if you can make your pitch about the person that you're talking to, they'll probably follow you to your car. So if you were to ask me, I'm the celebritizer, but if you were to ask me what I do, I'd tell you I celebritize radio hosts. But if you owned a car repair place, I would tell you I celebritize car people that repair cars. If you were an author, I would tell you I celebritize authors because it's the right tool for the right time, and I've personalized what I do to make it about you so that you feel stoked and you engage me.
That is great. My guest has been Gail Murphy. She's known as the Celebritizer, also author of the book Interview Tactics, How to Survive the Media Without Getting Clobbered, The Insider's Guide to Giving a Killer Interview. Now, Gail, you've probably piqued the interest of some of my listeners. If they wanted to learn more about you, learn more about your book or your services, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
Come and see me at interviewtactics.com. Interview Tactics, I-N-T-E-R-V-I-E-W, interviewtactics.com. I have a free gift for you. It's an Interview Tactics Media Report. It includes the first chapter of the book and some very cool tips, tactics, and techniques that you can celebritize yourself and your brand.
Oh, that is great. Gail, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my guest here on the show. We'll talk to you down the road.
You got to tell it to sell it.
Take care, Gail.